Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. On this holiday week, the biggest surprise or the best Christmas gift for our guest this week came from the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, selecting Alex Padilla, the Secretary of State, to be the next senator from the state of California to replace Kamala Harris as she becomes the Vice President of the United States. Pretty much this entire time, Padilla was the front runner for this job. There was pressure on him from some groups to appoint a black woman to the job. Instead, he appoints the first Latino in the history of California. Of course, California made up of 40% Latinos. And Padilla will begin in that job soon. But he gave us one of his first interviews to talk about the emotional moment when he was asked and to talk about what's next. So here is the next senator from California, Alex Padilla. Alex Padilla is Governor Newsom's choice to be the next senator from California. He'll soon leave his post as California's Secretary of State. Welcome back to The Issue Is, and congratulations.
Thank you, Alex. Good to be back. And exciting times, absolutely. But what a week it's been. I'll just put it that way.
I don't know whether to call you senator or secretary, but it's good to have you nonetheless. So the moment that Governor Newsom offered you the job, it was via Zoom. It was very 2020. It was caught on camera. And he first talked about your mom and brought her up and then talked about their journey from Mexico before offering you the job. Let's watch that moment back.
Can you imagine what they... Mom would be thinking now as I ask you if you want to be the next U.S. Senator of the United States, the great state of California.
You serious?
This is the official, this is the ask, brother.
I'm honored, man. And I'm humbled because of them.
Such a beautiful moment. Talk to us for a moment about your parents and how they shaped your worldview.
Other than completely, you know, it's an amazing story. The more I think about it, the more I'm inspired by them. You know, we did lose my mom a couple of years ago. My dad's still healthy and active, but they're both immigrants from Mexico. They came separately, actually. My mom is from the state of Chihuahua. My dad is from the state of Jalisco. They met in Los Angeles back in the late 60s, fell in love, decided to get married and apply for green cards in that order. And I thank the U.S. government every day for saying yes, because if those applications had been denied, you know, no doubt my life story would be a lot different. So they settled into the San Fernando Valley, raised three of us. I have an older sister who's been a TA. She's been a teacher. She's been a principal. She works for the LA Unified School District. I have a younger brother who works for the city council, actually chief of staff to the council president. So we're all in public service, which is not a coincidence at all. The values that my parents raised us with were number one, do good in school. Education is the key to a better future. Number two, service to others. But, you know, for 40 years, my dad worked as a short order cook. My mom cleaned houses, and watching them struggle, sacrifice, and work hard to provide our generation with better opportunity. I mean, that's as an American dream as it gets. And to think that in just one generation, our family can claim to have a member now representing the most populous state in the nation, the United States Senate, overcome with emotion still just thinking about it. But I know it's just our family. Millions of families have their American dream story, and that's what I fight for every day.
And it really is remarkable if you think about it. This week, Governor Newsom held a virtual roundtable with you and your replacement as Secretary of State, Shirley Weber. And I asked the governor about the nature of your relationship between the two of you. Here's some of what he had to say.
Where I've seen it in his interaction with his kids, and that's the true test, someone's character. It's reflected back in the eyes of their children, his wife, the experience we both had. You know, I lost my father a few weeks after he lost his mother 2 years ago in those conversations. And those are very personal and very raw. And you get to, someone reveals themselves in those moments. And of course, his incredible work.
Can you talk for a moment about your kids and your wife and how they shape the way that you think as well?
I tell her every day, I'm the luckiest man. My beautiful wife, Angela, an inspiration in her own right. Also born and raised here in the San Fernando Valley, has a degree in psychology. Her career has been in finance, but currently home full-time with the boys and overseeing on a volunteer basis, a nonprofit organization. She's a mental health advocate. That's part of our extended family story. And of course, our three boys that we're blessed to be responsible for. We remind each other all the time, we're not trying to raise three boys, we're trying to raise three gentlemen. It's got to be very, very intentional, hoping to instill in our boys the same values and ethics that our parents instilled in us. So yes, it's very personal, not just how we live our personal lives, but it's the same mentality that I take to work. You know, I ask my staff every day I'm in Sacramento, every day I'm in the state capital, prior to COVID, of course, is a day away from my family. So I got to make it worth it and lead by example, the way I, not just the work that I do, but how I do it, how I conduct myself. It's always out of respect for my wife and my boys and trying to pay tribute to what my parents worked so hard to achieve.
So you are going to be California's first Latino senator. Like so many Latinos, you were really inspired to activism by Prop 187 back in the 90s. There's now a whole generation of viewers and voters who really don't know that much about Prop 187, who didn't live through it. Can you describe briefly what it was and how it led to you doing what you do now?
Right. So, I mean, sort of in a nutshell, the way to describe Prop 187 is, you know, in recent years, we've heard of SB 1070 in Arizona, SB 4 in Texas, or just the anti-Latino, anti-immigrant rhetoric that still exists in other parts of the country. And frankly, we've heard from the Oval Office for the last 4 years. Believe it or not, that was the political environment in the state of California in 1994, not that long ago, when you stop and think about it. I was fresh home from college at that time with a mechanical engineering degree in hand. And to think, wow, what a fulfillment, not just in terms of me graduating, but a fulfillment of my parents' dreams, honoring their struggle and sacrifice by getting a great education, only to hear from the governor of California at the time that the state was struggling. And it's the fault of families like mine and people like my parents. I was insulted. I was offended. I was enraged. And I knew that as much as I was cynical about politics and government up until that time, I had no choice but to get involved, to change the political climate, to change the political trajectory of California. And, you know, we want to work towards fairness, want to work towards justice, want to work towards equity in every aspect of our society. You know, that's how I tried to serve as a member of the city council in Los Angeles, how I tried to serve in the state Senate. And it's that same philosophy and fire I brought to the Secretary of State's office, and I'm looking forward to bringing to the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, you didn't only get a degree in engineering. You went to MIT, which is one of the best schools in the entire country for that as well. Let's talk for a moment about some of your time in the city council, in the state Senate, as Secretary of State. What do you think was like the biggest lesson you've learned during the last few decades of public service that now you might be helpful for you in the U.S. Senate?
I mean, there's so many, but just based on my experience, I think there's three that I'll always take with me. Number one, you know, even the technicalities of being on the city council and drafting an ordinance is different than serving in the legislature and passing legislation, executive branch, legislative branch. Ultimately, public service is about ideas. What ideas do we have to make people's lives better? Number two, relationships. Can we build the relationships to either forge public opinion, to line up the votes, you know, whatever support is necessary to advance those ideas? And ultimately, to think big and be bold, right? We know progress at times is incremental, but we've got to think big if you want to make a big impact and big changes for the better in any community, in the state, and in the country. So you got to think big and not waste your time and this privileged opportunity to serve in the U.S. Senate.
Sort of a big picture question. You are going to be the first Latino senator from California, a state with 40% Latinos in it. There are some people that say that that shouldn't matter, that race, ethnicity shouldn't matter. Those shouldn't be factors in determining who the senator are. They don't love hearing about all these firsts. What do you say to people like that?
Yeah, well, look, I think it's an important perspective to bring to the decision-making process and the policy-making process. The diversity that we have in California is a huge strength and asset, as it is for the rest of the nation. And it should be reflected in our leadership at all levels, including in the United States Senate. Now, that being said, you know, I served as the first Latino president of the Los Angeles City Council with a commitment to do the best job I could for all Angelenos. You know, when I became the first Latino Secretary of State, you know, my commitment was to serve all Californians, and I'll serve and fight for all Californians as a U.S. Senator. But for a population that now makes up 40% of the state, to have a first Latino representative in the U.S. Senate, I think it is a historic milestone, but it only means something if we do good and take advantage of this opportunity.
But that also means that we're not going to have an African-American woman in the United States Senate. There was such a push to have that for this role. Of course, Kamala Harris now leaving the role. How do you sort of bring together some of the folks that weren't with you in this? I know many of the actual individuals themselves have put out nice statements about you, but some of their supporters are disappointed. And yeah. How do you sort of bring that back together?
You know what? And I hear them. And I agree. There should be more diversity and representation in the U.S. Senate, whether it's another African-American or Black woman specifically. That's what some people were advocating for. The way I have, I think, been successful in some of the things we've accomplished along the way is by working together, by building bridges and building relationships across various constituencies. That's how I'm going to continue to serve and work politically to ensure that we are electing more Black women at all levels of government throughout the country. You know, the other thing I would say is, proud to be a Latino. You know, that's one element of who I am, my identity, the journey I bring to the table. You know, I don't know how many engineers and scientists there are in the United States Senate, but I bet there's not too many. We have heard observations of being the first Southern Californian to serve in this capacity in a long, long time. So there's a lot of dimensions of Alex Padilla and the experience that I bring that I hope strengthens the policymaking process and all the work that we'll do.
We are talking with the next senator from California, Alex Padilla. So let's talk for a moment about your agenda in the Senate, because we have this interesting situation in the last few weeks where nobody really wanted to say that they wanted to be the senator. Everybody said, yeah, I'd like it, but it's like politics. You're not really supposed to elaborate on all of that. So you didn't really have a campaign to be the senator from California. So if you were in a campaign, what's the agenda item? What's number one on your list? What are you looking to do committee-wise? I mean, what is Alex Padilla, the senator, or look like?
Well, I got to tell you, there's a long list of what needs to be tackled, from expanding healthcare access to include everybody to tackling climate change, a true existential threat, making our economy and our democracy much more inclusive than it's been. But we can't get to all that effectively without dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. Hot issue number one, priority number one, front burner item number one, two, and three is going to be COVID. Some good news, right? There was a relief package that was passed earlier this week, and that's helpful for now, but not nearly enough, because the end of the pandemic is nowhere in sight. There's vaccines on the way, but it's going to be months and months and months before a sufficient amount is manufactured, distributed, and effectively administer to get to the other side of the curve, as Dr. Fauci puts it. So in the meantime, we've got to continue to help working families across the country and all those small business owners. And especially in a state like California, the most populous state in the nation, the most diverse state in the nation, we have the most at stake, we have the highest risk. And so I want to make sure I'm a fierce advocate for resources for California.
What specifically does that mean? What does that look like? Joe Biden says he wants to have more COVID relief. What tangibly does that mean for people?
Yeah, like I think it means direct assistance to individual families, whether their wages have been impacted, whether they've lost their jobs. You know, one of the things that was a part of an earlier relief package that has expired is the ability for somebody, if they are sick or a close family member, to be able to stay home from work. Right. If you contract COVID-19, we need you to self-isolate and not spread the disease. If staying home means you face eviction because the protections on foreclosure and eviction are also expiring, the economic and public health policies are contradicting themselves right now. So it's that level of detail, along with, let's be driven by data and facts and science. You know, we know certain communities are disproportionately at risk, whether it's they're disproportionately working as essential workers, the nature of their job exposes them to COVID-19, they're more likely to get it and have severe results. you know, the resources to support them, the distribution of vaccines, who gets priorities, all that needs to reflect those important nuances.
President Obama has suggested we should get rid of the filibuster. Do you think he's right?
I agree with President Obama. The rules of the Senate, some point to as tradition. Look what the consequences have been. We have people dying during this global health pandemic. And one of the big obstacles for being able to be more aggressive on relief and support for American families has been the rules of the Senate.
We are talking with Alex Padilla, soon to be California's senator. You know, like to have some fun on this show. So we're going to play personal issues to get to know you a little bit better. These are rapid fire answers about your favorites with 30 seconds on the clock. As part of this is getting to know you. So you ready? Ready for some fun?
Uh-oh.
All right, here we go. What's your favorite movie?
Oh, my favorite movie, The Sandlot.
Favorite band or musical artist?
Los Tigres del Norte.
Excellent. What's your favorite way to relax?
Cooking, spending time with my wife.
What's your favorite thing to cook?
Our fall seasonal pumpkin chili recipe is pretty popular.
Sounds good. Favorite TV show?
Fans of the news programs on the weekends and probably a lot of reruns.
You like to watch the news programs. All right, we like that. You should have said the issue is, but that's okay. We'll go with the generic one. I know that's really where your mind was at. Let's play another game. This is the name game. This is one word or a real quick phrase about top figures in California politics. So the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the name, okay? You ready? Here we go. Governor Gavin Newsom.
Bold.
Senator Dianne Feinstein.
Leader.
Senator, soon to be Vice President, Kamala Harris.
Trailblazer.
Former Governor Jerry Brown.
Sage.
Congresswoman Karen Bass.
Coalition builder.
Congresswoman Barbara Lee.
Unrelentless.
And finally, your soon-to-be colleague, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Legislative graveyard tour.
There's a hyphen in there somewhere. We are wrapping things up with Alex Padilla, the next senator for California. One of the questions is, when exactly are you going to take over? Any sense on when Kamala Harris might resign and when you may take the oath of office?
So no specific date yet. We know that Senator Harris will become vice president on January 20th. So I think at the latest, it'll be then. If for some reason she were to vacate earlier, then there's a possibility that we'd get sworn in prior to that.
All right. So to be determined, but we know it's going to happen in 2021. A lot of people are celebrating the fact that 2021 is soon to be upon us. Any New Year's resolutions or any big thoughts about 2021 as we wrap things up?
Yeah, I mean, I think as you asked me earlier about my approach to public service, you know, gotta think big, gotta be bold. And it's what American families need. It's what our environment needs. That's what we need to do to make sure government is working for all families. So be big, and I will be relentless too. Fight every day that I'm in Washington for all of California's working families.
And just lastly, to wrap things up, when you think back about that little boy growing up in Los Angeles with the immigrant parents, and then you think about this moment, what goes through your mind? Can you believe, would that little boy have believed that that boy would become the United States Senator from the largest state in the country?
Yeah, you know, it's in some ways said that when I was a kid, never would have imagined. You know, not only did I not grow up thinking I want to be, I just, you know, couldn't picture it. And hopefully, you know, my journey and the way I serve will allow young girls and boys of all backgrounds to be able to think that and pursue that at a much younger age.
A reminder that representation matters. Congratulations. I know we've been talking for many, many years. And so this is exciting to be talking in this next capacity as well. Best of luck to you. And we're going to be in Washington for the inauguration. Hopefully we'll see you then.
Thank you, Alex.
Our thanks to soon-to-be Senator Alex Padilla. We hope to talk with him again soon. Next week on The Issue Is, a special conversation about race with Emmanuel Acho, the author of Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. It's a really fascinating conversation, one of my favorites we've had, and we hope you will listen to that as well. And we hope that you'll reach out to us. I'm in social media at Alex Michelson. That's Alex with an E. Thanks for listening to The Issue Is. See you next time.